America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman's Show, hour number two here on the Team 980, an hour that will feature your comments. Never read the comments. Coming up at 5:30, and then coming up at 6 o'clock, top storylines of the day from Command Land. You'll hear from Joe Witt Jr. and Cliff Kingsbury. Right now, though, it is time for Not My Beat.
Today's top story, from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not My Beat.
Joining us today, Andrew Filippone. First and Pod is his national podcast, so he definitely has an eye on the Commanders always, because he has an eye on every team. They do every team, every game, every week. But his day job, if you will, is to host Afternoon Drive in Pittsburgh on 93.7 The Fan, our great Odyssey station there. Pony, appreciate your time, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Craig, did not anticipate when the schedule came out that this was going to be a marquee game, but here we are, 6-2, 7-2, both coaches in the coach of the year conversation for sure. So that's another subplot to this game. And Mike Tomlin's incredible record against rookie quarterbacks on the line here as well on Sunday.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels certainly no ordinary rookie, so we'll see how that goes. We'll get into all aspects of this game, but I'm just curious, as someone who does watch every single team, every game, every weekend, when did you shift from like, oh, the Commanders are a nice story, this is fun, to like, oh, this is a real serious good football team?
So it definitely took a few weeks when they beat the Giants, but the kicker got hurt for New York at the beginning of the game, and they only settled for field goals and won. I still probably was pretty skeptical about their long-term chances. And I'm trying to think of the game that would have made me say, you know what, I've got to just throw caution to the wind here and say that this guy's in the Andrew Luck, Robert Griffin, Ben Roethlisberger, CJ Stroud, Dan Marino group of quarterbacks. And that was probably like around week four, week five. I mean, when the dude's completing 80% of his passes and you watch the games and they're not just straight dink and dunk plays, you know, I'll tell you actually the moment. There was that play, and you can remember the game, where he came to the sideline with Kingsbury and he's like, let me throw it deep here.
The Cincinnati game on Monday night where he had McLaurin.
There it is. The Cincinnati Monday night game. And even though the Bengals have lost a lot of games at home, it still went in a shootout against Joe Burrow. So I think that's probably where it clicked for me, Craig.
For the Pittsburgh side of things this year, this is just another Mike Tomlin. They find ways to win. They're physical. Is there anything special, though, you think about this team that has allowed them to get out to the record? Because they're not floating around 500. Like, this team is winning more consistently as opposed to floating around. It's like, oh, well, Tomlin saved the streak at the end of the year. Like, they're almost already there. So how have they been able to win more consistently this year? Is there anything special to you about
this team? It's not a smoke and mirrors team anymore, okay? It's not a team that you look at them at the end of the year and they got outscored and they still found a way to go to 9-8. Or they had a ridiculous record in one score games. It's not that. And that's been the Steelers the last few seasons. That's why they've made the playoffs and they've been dead man walking in the postseason, because they were an average football team at best. Now they're way more than that. I thought Justin Fields gave them better quarterback play than they got most of the last couple of years because of his running dimension, but it's actually been elevated to an even higher level since Russell Wilson's gone in. He's been outstanding. They've averaged over 30 points a game with him in there. And so I've just been, I didn't have a closed-minded outlook on him. Like, he was completely cooked from Denver in his last year in Seattle. So I was cautiously optimistic, I guess is what I would say, but he's exceeded my expectations, especially when he missed so much of camp in the preseason. And then the first 6 weeks of the season with a calf strain, I didn't think we'd see this kind of Russell Wilson through the first two games. And they're top 15 scoring, they're second in scoring defense. So they're really a complete team right now, Craig. There's not a lot of holes with the Steelers, and they're not a phony 6-2 or paper champion team. They're a legit football team this year.
When you talk about the move from Fields to Russ, obviously the running game becomes a little less efficient because Fields is so dangerous, but also these 50-50 balls that Russ has been throwing forever that maybe aren't exactly 50-50 when he throws them. How has that kind of changed the dynamic of their offense, the deep ball specifically, and what Wilson has brought to it?
So we saw it actually last year when Mason Rudolph replaced Trubisky. And he actually throws a great long ball, too. It's not on par with Russell Wilson, who's probably, you know, a top 10 in NFL history at that. But we saw when he went in for Trubisky late in the year, it did unlock or untap something in their offense. They scored more than 30 points against the Bengals. They had a huge game in Seattle that helped them get to the playoffs. They had back-to-back 400 yards of total offense games. And it was because safeties had to play deeper, respecting the ability of the quarterback to get the ball downfield. I think the same thing has happened here, actually, with Russell Wilson. Najee Harris was already finding his footing. I think he was adjusting to the Arthur Smith scheme, way different than what they had with the incompetent Matt Canada. And so I think that it's become a team now that you can't just look at the Steelers and figure, if we stop the run, we've got them beat. Because Russ is the home run hitter that he is, and Pickens is the perfect quarterback for that. And now you throw Mike Williams in to that mix as well. So I think that's probably what he's done, is that he's allowed for teams to honor the Steelers' downfield passing game. And they've run the ball more. The only team that's run the ball more than them in the league this year is Baltimore. And they've become a much more efficient running team in the last few games. Najee Harris is coming into this game with three straight 100-yard rushing games, Craig. That's never happened in his career as a first-round pick until right now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andrew Filippone, Afternoons 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh with us here on the Hoffman Show for today's Not My Beat. I'm glad you mentioned Harris and how well he's playing, because the overall season numbers are not as good as you would think based off reputation for Pittsburgh. I think they're like middle of the pack in EPA per rush. I think they're 19th in success rate. And when I looked at that stuff up this morning, I expected those numbers to be higher. Why has it still worked for them? Like, how have they been able to put forth an offense that scores points? And how have those numbers maybe gotten better the last 3 weeks, or why have they gotten better the last 3 weeks?
Well, I think the offense had to not only adjust to a new play caller in a radically different scheme, but they also had a different offensive line combination in every game. So they lost Isaac Seumalo right before the season started. He came over from Philly. He's probably their most consistent offensive lineman. If I were to power rank their offensive lineman coming into the season, I would have had him number one based on preseason expectations. James Daniels, their right guard, if you go by basically any, whether it's a Pro Football Focus grade or even run block win rate, things like that, he was one of the best guards in football before he was lost for the season in a contract year. So they had to replace two guards. Now Seumalo's back. Daniels is out for the year. And Mason McCormick, a guy they picked in the fourth round, has slid in there. He's been up and down. You'd expect that from a day three rookie being forced to play. Broderick Jones, their right tackle, who's really a left tackle, has been one of the worst offensive tackles in the entire NFL. So I guess what I'm saying is that they've had to deal with and try to game plan around not having above average run blocking, or just blocking period. I think that hurt Najee. He's a guy that honestly needs a hole. He's not someone that is, even at his size is going to run somebody over and create one, which is unfortunate. And he doesn't have the breakaway speed. There's not a lot of like long runs, even when he gets to the second level with the hole. So I think that's probably why the numbers were down at the beginning of the year. And they've ticked up because I think this young offensive line has gotten more comfortable playing together. And they're going to get Zach Frazier back for this game on Sunday. And that's massive. Their center, he was a second round pick from West Virginia. He is outstanding. He's had a Creed Humphrey-like effect on this team as far as young, precocious offensive linemen go. I think he's already probably one of the 5 or 10 best centers in the entire NFL.
When you look at the Pittsburgh defense against Jaden Daniels in this very, very high-powered Washington offense, is there an area that particularly – we'll go with this one first. We'll make the Washington fans, my listeners, happy first. Is there an area that particularly scares you with Daniels and this offense against the Pittsburgh defense?
So their overall numbers against the run are great. If you just look at the stats, you'd think this is a real challenge for Washington because the Commanders are so run-heavy. And the Steelers, that's their strength defensively. But they're coming off their worst game. Tyrone Tracy for the Giants killed them on Monday night 2 weeks ago. And if he doesn't get knocked out of that game with a concussion by Cam Hayward, I'm not entirely sure the Steelers win. I think they still do. But it would have been a much closer game at the very end there when Daniel Jones threw an interception to put the game away for the Steelers. So this has happened a couple times with them. Anthony Richardson, actually, at the start of that game against the Steelers when they lost and their offense really struggled in the first quarter, or their defense really struggled in the first quarter, he was moving the ball on him and he was running the ball a lot as a dual threat guy, and they were having a hard time tackling Jonathan Taylor. So there's a couple of games that show chinks in the armor for them, and they usually take time to warm up to a game. They're one of the worst first quarter defenses in the entire NFL. Now, the flip side of that is they're the best second-half defense. They haven't given up a point in the third quarter all year, actually. So that's a credit to the coaching staff and the adjustments they've made. But they did a horrible job tackling in space against the Giants on Sunday. And I'm sure Mike Tomlin dug into that during the bye week. It's been a point of emphasis all week. I know that. And we'll see if Washington can expose it again in this game, Craig.
Is there something then on the flip side that you feel pretty good about, whether it's Watt in the pass rush or anything else that you think, hey, Washington's gotten a lot of teams on this year, but I think Pittsburgh can handle it?
Well, I feel good about Joey Porter Jr. against Terry McLaurin. I think that's got to be, from the pass attack standpoint, like, you know, I thought the Steelers should have picked up Noah Brown when he was let go by Houston, because we've had an enormous void here at wide receiver too. And I thought he would have been a tremendous pickup. And, you know, with the Dotson trade, he's probably wide receiver two there in Washington right now with the injuries and stuff they've had, more so than McCaffrey. And like, I'm comfortable with the Steelers' depth corners in those matchups. It's McLaurin against Porter, and Porter will travel with him for sure. That's going to be the interesting thing here, is we've seen this guy go off now that he has competent quarterback play for the first time in his career. And I just wonder if he's able to be mitigated in this game, how effective Jaden Daniels is going to be when he has to go to his secondary targets like Zach Ertz and Noah Brown in the running backs in this game. So that's probably, from the Steelers' defensive way of looking at it, like, okay, even if our pass rush doesn't get home, we feel like we've got a legit number one corner who can handle this big assignment.
Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be really interesting. Then again, McLaurin last week had three catches for 19 yards, just that two of them were touchdowns. So it's the loudest three-catch, 19-yard game that you'll ever hear about in anyone's career. Last but not least, Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan, with us from Pittsburgh. You mentioned Tomlin's record against rookie quarterbacks. Why have they been so successful, and do you think that can translate to Daniels, who is unlike any rookie we have ever seen through 10 games of this NFL, or 10 weeks of this NFL season?
So I want to say that early in his tenure, I give more of the credit to, they had a defensive coordinator, Dick LeBeau, who is widely recognized as one of the greatest in NFL history.
Yeah,
and the godfather of the zone blitz scheme. And I just think that unique way of having a inside linebacker come through up the middle, dropping an outside linebacker in coverage, having three linebackers blitz, having a defensive end drop in coverage. I mean, they would just show very exotic things. And even though, you know, you'd see it on tape maybe, I think when you got into the games, it was just overwhelming for quarterbacks, and it was a lot for them. And that's why I think Tomlin was able to pad his record against rookie quarterbacks so early in his career. So I'll start there. And they can just get pressure with four consistently. And I think that's hard on teams when you can trust TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Cam Hayward to get there. You can designate a lot of guys to make sure that there's a double team and that guys are covered, and you're not leaving yourself vulnerable to plays where guys can get the ball out quick and there's an open receiver, because you're losing the numbers game. So that's probably the answer right now. And I will say, last year they did lose to CJ Stroud and they got boat raced in that game. So that would be hope for the Commanders here, is that this impeccable record, which is 25-6, the most wins against rookie quarterbacks ever by a head coach. At least last year, they lost to Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and they lost to C.J. Stroud. So lately, Tomlin hasn't been as perfect against these young quarterbacks.
Andrew Filippone, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. You can listen to his show, of course, on the free Odyssey app, and check out First and Pod Mondays and Fridays with Patrick Peterson, who, of course, joined us yesterday. It was great to have Pat P on. Pony, always great to chat, my friend. Really appreciate your time. Thank you.
You bet, Craig. Thank you.
Hey, this is DA, and you're listening to The Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.